In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Brothers and sisters, the Scripture has many questions that it asks us. We must answer. Many, many times in the Gospel especially, there are questions asked of us. Sometimes it's an outright question that's being asked to someone, such as this story, where the paralytic is asked, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Other times the question is implied. But I tell you, you can scarcely go a page in the Gospel without having to answer a question. And that is always about something about eternal life. Now you must read the Scripture carefully to see these questions. Some of them are not so obvious. But every single one of them needs to be answered. And the thing about questions in the Scriptures, in the Gospel especially, these are questions that are not answered one time. They're ongoing. So when Jesus goes to the paralytic and he says, "Wilt thou be made whole?" That is a question for us too. It's not so obvious. It's not so cut and dried. The answer is not obvious because most people say no to this question. Doesn't make much sense. Are you sick? Would you like to be well? And we say no. Because the answer to this question is in how we live our life. And we can see that because when our Lord heals the man, he says, "Take up thy bed and walk." So he made him whole. He made his limbs strong enough to be able to walk. So he said, "Get up, carry your bed, and go." Meaning, once you're healed by the waters of baptism, then you have an obligation to live the life according to the commandments. Not commandments that are to be followed or else we will go to hell, but the way of life. Because this man shows what sin does to a person. He was paralyzed outwardly and also inwardly. Sin causes pain. All sin, any sin, causes pain. It causes affliction. It makes us to not be whole, to not be complete, to be without peace. All sin. Some sins cause physical afflictions. Some are obvious. Drunkenness. A person eventually has their liver become cirrhotic. But all sins cause affliction, whether it be physical, whether it be spiritual. Every single one. So every time we sin, we are answering to the Lord, "I don't want to be whole." That is, if we sin by making a choice. There are some things, indeed, we sin because they're habits that we cannot overcome or because of the weakness of our flesh. If we desire to be made whole, then the Lord will help us. But what he's going to tell us is, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." In other words, I will help you, but you must live according to the commandments. This is the Christian way of life. So many people have a view of sin that it's only something that God judges us for. The judgment for your sin is now. And it is that sin hurts. Sin kills. Sin afflicts us. Which one of us feels good in our heart after we have been angry and cursed at someone? Or when we have a feeling of jealousy towards someone? Or some other thought. Most of our sins are thoughts, by the way. A few of them become physical actions, but every sin starts as thought. And how many of us, when we do something wrong, feel at peace? And how many of us have done things habitually wrong, and it has caused us great pain, whether it be a relationship that is broken, family troubles, whatever it is. Or maybe just the feeling of shame. Sin hurts. Not God's judgment. It is something that is poisonous to us. And yet we do it. So we need someone to help us. And the paralytic shows us who we need. Because he says, "Sir, I have no man that will take me down to the water to heal me." And the Lord immediately said, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." Only by the Lord can we be healed. But this healing is not only with the Lord, it's also with us. He's the only one who can cause the healing. But if we do not struggle to be healed, we will not be healed. This story is an excellent example of what sin does to the human being. It paralyzes us. It hurts us. It cuts us. All sin. And the only way is to follow the way of Christ, to be away from sin, to no longer be paralyzed as this paralytic man. We're all just like him in this way. And we're also like him in that when the Lord gives us the question, "Wilt thou be made whole?" we don't answer enthusiastically, "Yes, Lord, what should I do?" Instead, there's some reason why we can't be made whole. There's some reason why we fall into this sin and that sin all the time. There's always a reason. Reason why we don't say our prayers. Reason why we don't read the holy things, the holy books, the gospel especially. There's a reason why we still remain angry at someone. There's a reason why we are jealous, etc., etc. Every single time, the Lord is asking us, when we're considering sin, "Wilt thou be made whole?" So really, every time that you are faced with a temptation, this could be a question that you're answering. I just recently wrote something for all of you, that Scripture is full of things that are like slogans. This could be like a slogan. You know, something that you remember that encapsulates a great truth in a few words. "Really, I don't feel like saying my prayers." Well, do I want to be made whole? Yes, I do. Then I must say my prayers. "I am angry at this person, and this anger is sweet because I fall into it again and again. But do I want to be made whole? Then I must struggle against this anger. Find some way to no longer be angry." And there are ways. One of the best ways is certainly to go to confession. And oftentimes you receive counsel that is practical to help a person deal with your anger. Every single sin that we commit, there should be this question before it happens. Wilt thou be made whole? The answer when we sin is no. It's not a good answer to make. But the Lord is merciful, and he asks this question again and again of us. As a pastor, if I see someone, no matter what they're doing, no matter how weak they are, no matter what they're falling into, no matter what they've done, if a person has a fine sense of what is right and wrong, and a desire to be good, and a sense in themselves of what they are, an honest appraisal of what they are, then my heart is full of joy. Because that person is answering this question, "Yes, I want to be made whole." Comes over time. After all, this man was paralyzed for 38 years. But when a person does not have that inner sense of self and doesn't recognize that there's so much wrong with them, then they don't answer this question. They don't even hear this question. And that's sad. Brothers and sisters, I hope you hear this question resounding day to day, moment by moment. Wilt thou be made whole? The Lord will make you whole. But only if when he touches you, you rise and walk. Now, perhaps you don't walk very far before falling again. But if you make the effort, you will be made whole. See, that's the wonder of it all. God demands perfection of us. And he will provide it if we struggle for it. So no matter how poorly we do, if we try, if our intent is to be whole, we will become whole. No matter how bad we are, no matter, there's no sin that God will not forgive, except when we do not repent. Repentance is not always successful, especially with habitual sins, because we tend to think repentance means I stop doing something. No, repentance means is you try to stop doing something with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. But with a weak heart and a weak soul and a weak mind, sometimes we can't stop. But if we continue to try, we are answering this question in the affirmative. I want to be made whole. And the Lord will. It's as simple as that. So we're just like this paralytic man. We have sin that causes us affliction. And the Lord asks us again and again, wilt thou be made whole? Let our answer be, yea, Lord. And then let us rise and take up our bed and walk. May God help us to do this. Amen.